Let's take our Bible tonight and go back to the book of James chapter 5. James chapter 5. We started a message this morning on Elijah. And we started the message on the struggles that we go through. And we looked about two of those struggles that he had. One was with his foe. And we do have a foe. He said, be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He had to deal with Ahab and Jezebel. He had to deal with the prophets of the grove. And no doubt in all that, he was still dealing with Satan. And listen, we have to deal with the outside world, but we also have to deal with the inside of what Satan is trying to do to us. And with us, and we talked about what plagues our minds, son. Then we looked about his following. He followed God all the way up until Jezebel sent him that letter. And when he got that letter that said, come tomorrow, I'm going to kill you, that's basically what it said. We don't find that God told him to run, but he ran. But even in his running, God was still good to him. And God, I believe God was still with him. And God watched over him. God never left him. But what we were looking at is in James chapter 5. And I'm just going to read one part as we come back to this verse in verse 17. And I'm going to ask you to stand tonight. James chapter 5 and verse 17. Well, we'll read two verses. And it says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, I ask that you'd help us now, save the one that's lost, encourage the one that needs encouragement, but touch us while we might preach tonight, that you'd be honored in it all and save that sinner that's nearest hell for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as we look tonight, and it says in verse 17, and this is where we drew our thought from, was Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And we find that Elijah, even as a great man as he was and a prophet that God made him into and gave him great power, that he was just like we are. He dealt with the same flesh. He had the same problems. I mean, it was me and you, as far as the flesh is concerned, is no different than Elijah was. Sometimes we look at those men those ladies as superhuman, but listen, they were dealing in the same flesh. It's just God was using them, and they allowed themselves to be used of God. But we looked at how that he struggled with the foe, and he struggled with his following that he should. But tonight, as I look at the scripture, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 18 and chapter 19 tonight. And I guess I'll pick back up in chapter 19. And I'm going to lay out a quick introduction tonight. But go over to 1 Kings chapter 19. Now you have to realize what has taken place up till now. I know that I sound like a broken record after this morning, but God has told him to go tell Ahab it's not going to rain. God said, go down there by the brook Cherith. I'll take care of you down there. And God did. God sent him to Zarephath after the brook dried up to be fed by the raven, to be fed by the widow woman. He's fed by the ravens back to brook Cherith to be fed by the widow woman. And I always find what God done up there for the widow woman. Do you realize that it was Elijah that got took care of at the brook Cherith all by himself? But when he got up to Zarephath, and because she had enough faith in the God of heaven, and I'm not even sure that she knew the God of heaven, but she had enough faith in what Elijah had told her that because she put her faith in what he said, God took care of them. You got to realize she's fixing to die. Her son was fixing to die. And he said, if you'll make mine first, I said, then you can make yours. But he said that the meal barrel never run dry, nor will the cruise of oil, and it never did. And so me and Brother Marvin, we talked about the birds this morning. That's kind of funny that God allowed them birds to bring meat and bread. But then God done another miracle. He never let the meal barrel run dry, nor the cruse of oil. I still get amazed at that. Every time that they went back, I don't think that it overflowed, but I think that every time that she picked the lid up off that meal barrel and reached down in there to get something, there was always enough to do what needed to be done. And so not only that her son ended up dying, and Elijah by God, he was raised from the dead. We know that he had that contest on Mount Carmel, and God answered by fire. And we know that he goes a little further in chapter 18 and goes up there and prays that it might rain. And so it does rain. And so I lay all that out to say tonight, if there was anybody that had great faith, we would think that it would be Elijah, wouldn't it? But we get to chapter 19, and Elijah has not only had to struggle with his foe and struggle with following God like he should, but I believe right now he is struggling with his faith. Because it said right here, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. Now, I told you in my introduction, out of everything that Elijah had experienced, but yet right here, what would you not think out of everything that Elijah has experienced that would have built on his faith? Let me ask you tonight, church, everything you've seen God do for you and accomplish for you and accomplish in your life and do for you, does that not help your faith tonight? Helps mine? Amen? Hey, listen, I've seen God do some things just for me. I'm talking about just for me. I'm talking about I didn't ask a prayer request at church and somebody else got a prayer through. I'm talking about it was just me praying. And God seen what needed to happen and he moved. That helps me. And so Elijah, he finds himself at a time when he was faced with life or death. And he is on his run. He is on the run now from Jezebel. He is in the wilderness and left his servant and went by himself. And that's a bad place to be. What is it when people are on the run from something, they want to separate themselves from everybody, and when they can get around somebody that might be able to help them? Amen. I've learned sometimes good godly friends is what you need. Is what I need. Somebody that could just help me, put their arm around me and say, preacher, we're praying for you. Or they can give me some advice as to what's needed. But I believe that Elijah's faith is on the bottom. Maybe I'm reading it wrong, but I don't think so. And he wishes himself to die. You're picking on Elijah, preacher. No, I'm not picking on him. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. How many of us has ever found ourselves in the same state? Not necessarily on the run from some wicked queen that wants to kill us, but there is something that has come up against us, and all we know to do is just go run and hide and feel bad for ourselves. I told you this a long time ago, or some weeks ago. I won't say a long time ago. Some weeks ago and some months ago. This is no joke, church. I really thought when I was a young man that living for Christ got easier and easier the older you got. We learn things along the way, and our faith does get strengthened along the way, but it don't always get easier to live for God. And so here he is, and he's went out and he sat down under the juniper tree, and he's sad and he wishes himself to die. As we were coming to church tonight, we were listening to a choir sing, and the song they were singing talked about smiling through all your tears.
I told my wife, I said, that sounds real good when you sing it, but sometimes that's awful hard to do. Sometimes it's hard to get a hold of what's going on in your life and put your faith in the God of heaven, knowing that He saved you, knowing what He's done for you in the past, but something's happened this time that is different. How many times have you looked up to heaven in a time of trouble and in a time of despair and said, God, I know You're up there, and I know that You're going to handle this. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. What has Elijah done right here? He's begun to walk by sight just a little bit, hadn't he? He read that. No, so you're beating up on him. Now, I ain't trying to beat up on him. What I'm trying to get you to see, friend, is that he was subject to the same passions that me and you are, and we're just the same way as he is. You may have great faith tonight. I can tell you that this preacher standing up here tonight has great faith at times, but sometimes I have little faith. I've been on both sides of this thing. I've seen the days when I did not worry about things that normal people would worry about. You saying you had great faith? I did that day. I did at that time. But then something happens that robs us of our faith. Let me ask you tonight, and you may be this way tonight, I don't know, but have you ever doubted what God done for you? And what I mean by that is that He saved you. You may be sitting in here tonight wondering if God even done what He said He would do when you come and got saved. In other words, I'm talking about doubting your salvation. There's people that do that. There's more people that do that than you would imagine. And that's a miserable place to be, by the way. Now you get that thing settled and you can have peace in your heart and joy in your life, and what you might need tonight is to get saved. That might be why you're doubting it. I heard one preacher say, and I've probably said it before, but I think it bears worth repeating tonight. He was preaching a message on that thing about chronic doubters, and I thought it was a wonderful message. And he said, there's just some people that has never doubted their salvation. And he said, bless your heart, that's good. But he said, I got baptized so many times, that's how I learned how to swim. I thought that's a pretty good little joke right there. And if you ask me why it is that way, I don't know. But I'm telling you tonight that if you put your faith and hope in Christ Jesus the Lord and trust Him tonight, I know He'll save you and I know He'll keep you tonight. Amen. I know that without a shadow of a doubt. I know what the Bible says, that when you come and trust Him and put your faith in Him, He'll do His part tonight. But that wasn't Elijah's problem. He had seen what had come, and he read that note, and then he lit out. He had seen God answer by fire. He had seen God cause it to rain. He had seen God feed him by the ravens. He had seen God keep the meal barrel and the cruse of oil full. And he had seen that boy get raised from the dead because he besought God. And now he's on the run. Have we ever been there? Have we ever been in a place in our life that where we just, for whatever reason, our faith has grown weak in the Lord? Y'all understand what I'm talking about tonight? Okay, just making sure here. When I was a young man, I would never admit to what I was preaching to tonight. That seemed weak to me. But you know, sometimes you've got to admit that your faith is weak before you can ever get to the place to where something, so God can do something for you.
You've got to realize that you're at that problem, and that there's not listen, and as long as you keep running from the situation and not placing your faith and your hope in the Lord to bring you through this thing, it's just going to get worse and worse. I thought about his disciples when they were on the ship in Matthew chapter 8. The Bible said his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we perish." And he saith unto them, "Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith?" You know, when you have a lack of faith, there's fear in your life, ain't there? Man, I hate fear. I hate being afraid. I hate it. I hate watching scary movies. I remember me and Kelly was watching a movie one time, and it was daylight when we started watching that thing out the house, and it got dark, and we had turned off. You remember doing that? And so what we don't do is we just don't watch scary movies, not in the daylight or in the dark. You can resolve that problem. You just don't watch them. I've got enough anxiety as it is. I don't need any help. Amen. And so the Lord, when he's on board, when he's on the ship, they come to him and say, "Master, save us, we perish." And he says to them, he says, "Why are you so fearful, oh, you of little faith?" And he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. I feel like them boys a lot of times, or sometimes, I won't say a lot of times. I know he's on board, I know he's on board the ship, and I know the ship cannot go down, but yet sometimes I feel like I'm sinking. And what's going on? How many of you have faced financial troubles serving God and faced financial troubles? Or serving God and faced family troubles? Or serving God and faced church troubles? Or maybe job troubles? I mean, it's just one trouble after another. And it begins to wear on us and beat us. You know, David, as I studied this, I thought about how David said, "Oh, that I wish I had wings of a dove, and then I would just fly away and be at peace." He said, "I wish I could just get away from it all." You reckon that's what Elijah's doing right here? He's just trying to run to get away from it all. He's a man subject to like passions as we are. When Peter stood out on the boat over there, and the Lord come walking by on the water, and he said, "Lord, if it's you, then bid me come." And so the Lord, he just bids him come and tells him to come. Now, he had great faith while he was in the boat, didn't he? Matthew 14, let me just find it right here. "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come." I always wondered why Peter done that. Now, I mean, I guess I think a little different than when I read Scripture. Why'd Peter do that? Why'd Peter even say, "Lord, if it's you, just let me come out there on the water with you"? And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. There that word is. He became fearful, didn't he? And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" So we find that here that he started out good. Peter did. He was walking on the water. But yet in the midst of that thing, when the trials came, when the waves began to roll up on him, the Bible said the wind was boisterous and he was afraid. Let me ask you something. How many of you have ever started anything for the Lord? And God started in it good and everything was going well, and then trouble began to multiply itself upon you, and then you even begin to scratch your head and wonder if you was in the will of God and wonder if this is what God really wanted out of your life. I think sometimes we need to ask those questions, but if God don't catch us real fast and tell us, stop, then I believe that you'd probably be where God wants you to be at. Why is it always after great battles that are won, then trouble shows up? So here is Elijah on the run from Jezebel. I believe he's weak in faith. Listen, he's tired. Think about Elijah for just a second. He's tired. Remember, he's run into Jezreel. If you go back and you look at that thing, he's run into Jezreel. I don't know how much time he's had to rest. I don't know how much food he's had to eat. And boys, when we get physically wore out, it does begin to wear on us spiritually. That's why we need to sleep like we need to and eat in moderation as God has told us to. I got the eating part down real good. It's the sleeping some days. But sometimes, some of y'all don't believe me tonight about that, but I'm telling you, it's all tied together. So here goes Elijah. He's weak in the faith. He is tired. He's on the run for his life. And he goes and sits down under the juniper tree and just wants to die. I bet he felt real good about himself, didn't he? You ever find yourself in that place and you look at your life at the time? And listen, I get so introspective sometimes that I get very concerned about when I get very introspective, because you look deep enough, you'll start finding problems. And you got to be careful with how deep you start looking, because you'll start creating problems if you ain't careful. But here Elijah is, and no doubt he's tired and all these things. But I want you to look at what God done for him. In verse 5, "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat." You say, well, what about it? Do you know what the Bible said? There was an angel there. You reckon that helped him at all? Just to see an angel appear. Now think about that for just a second. He's seen God do everything else that he's done. He's on the run from Jezebel. He's tired. He's fearful for his life. He's losing his faith, if you'd let me say that. And then he's laid down to take a nap under the juniper tree after he has felt sorry for himself. I smile right there is because I have not sat under a physical juniper tree, but I have sat under that spiritual juniper tree many times. Or that figuratively juniper tree. I've sat under it. And wondered what God was going to do and how God could fix this or God could do this and all these things. And my faith would be weak and I'd wonder why that we're in the shape that we're in. But yet as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then the angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. So we find here that God made his provision for Elijah. In his weakness of faith, God still sent help. As a matter of fact, that's when you need help, ain't it? I hate being weak in faith. I like to throw up my shield of faith and go. And let's serve God. And let's do for God. And let's go and let's do and have great faith. And he looked and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. God fed him, didn't he? God fed him physically, but let me ask you tonight, how many times have you been weak in faith and God has fed you spiritually? God has sent somebody or something by to help you. Then not only that, the Bible said, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat. So God not only helped him once, but God helped him again. And he said, and sent an angel. Don't say it's the same angel. I just assumed that it was. The angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee.
Now, ain't you glad God knows what lays out in front of you? And I preached on that a little bit this morning. So God knew what he was going to need for the journey. Elijah is sitting out under a juniper tree, feeling sorry for himself, wants to die, weak in faith. And what does God do? God comes by and God helps him. He gets down in the cave, and we won't read it, but he gets down in the cave, and what does God do? God comes by and speaks to him. How many times has God just ever spoke to you? God give you some help out of the Word of God? Either through preaching or through the teaching of God's Word, maybe through a song that was sung on the radio or at church, or God just brought something back to your memory and that scripture helped you. Or somebody just come by and gave you a little word, and the Word of God, and just it strengthened you for the day. Romans 10 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I know that's talking about salvation in that passage of Scripture there, but listen, if we're going to have faith, it's going to come out of that book right there. You know, when I find that my faith is weak, a lot of times I've probably not been reading my Bible like I should. Sometimes we got to get like his disciples in the book of Luke, over here, Luke 17, where his apostles come to him and said, Lord, increase our faith. You know how he's going to increase your faith? Read the Bible. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I believe that when we read, God will help us. 1 Peter says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. We look at that and our faith gets tried. 1 Peter 1 talks about the fire, talks about the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire. Listen, I'm going to tell you, the trial of our faith being more precious than gold that's tried by fire, that's pretty precious tonight, ain't it? Can I ask you tonight, why do we doubt God? You that are in here tonight that is saved and has seen God work, and yet there are times in our life that we still struggle with trusting God. Why is that? I believe we come to number four tonight, and I can answer that question. Is our flesh gets in the way. We struggle with our flesh. Jezebel threatens him. Elijah's on the run, and then Elijah has to deal with himself. Self. You know who I have to struggle with the most? You all know, I just said it. Self. I'm my biggest problem tonight. It's not my lack of faith. It's not that I can't follow God. It's not my foes that are out there. But it is my flesh that gives me my hardest problem tonight. Me. And I believe that is who Elijah had to deal with the greatest, was him. He did have to fight his foes. He did struggle following God. He did struggle in having weak faith. But I believe at the end of the day, when we look at it all, it's in our flesh that we struggle the most. Because we're trying to believe God with our head instead of believing God with our heart tonight. Instead of putting our faith completely in Him, we're still trying to figure out how we can work this thing out in the flesh instead of just turning loose of it and letting it go. I will not pretend to believe or pretend to know what Elijah should have done, but I do know this tonight, that if he would have presented that note from Jezebel and said, God, what do I do with this thing? I believe God would have told him what to have done. Was it Hezekiah and Isaiah that,
that took that letter from King Sennacherib over there and laid it out before God over there in the house of the Lord and said, Lord, look what they're telling us right here. But instead, so many times, my lack of faith in my life comes because my flesh wants to have control of it and handle it itself. I can tell you, when your flesh gets a hold of it, you're going to be discouraged, you're going to be depressed, and you're going to be despondent. And I'll tell you what, and I've preached on that many times over the years, but Elijah was all three of them because, man, now he sat down under the juniper tree and just wants to die. Just tired. That old songwriter said, we've got one more valley, one more hill. Elijah's been by himself. Elijah's had to been took care of by other people. Think about that for just a second. How humbling it must have been for him to let that widow woman take care of him. Imagine how great that must have felt to Elijah when God, in a 63-word prayer, that God answered by fire from heaven. I would have felt vindicated myself at that point. I mean, I'll just be honest with you, how my flesh would have felt. I would have felt vindicated. To go and pray that it might rain. How many of y'all ever prayed and got God to move in the weather? I think there might have been a couple times that I have, because I'll be honest with you, I told you growing up we love thunderstorms, but the older I've got, the more I just don't want to deal with them. And I've prayed, Lord, let them things go around, let them dissipate, let them do something else besides come by my way. You say, well, it just fizzled out before it got to you. Maybe it did, but maybe God fizzled it out. I don't know. The flesh right here has made him make a bad decision. You know what your flesh that makes the bad decision? It's your flesh that gets in sin, ain't it? It's your flesh that sins tonight. Make bad decisions. The Holy Spirit inside of you, if you're saved, it don't make bad decisions. It's perfect tonight. That soul that is sealed on the inside, it don't make bad decisions. It's sealed for all eternity. The soul that sinneth shall surely die, the Bible said. I got all my sins forgiven a long time ago. So he had to deal with his flesh. Can I tell you tonight that me and you have to deal with our flesh? We don't like to deal with our flesh. We don't want to deal with our flesh. But we have to deal with our flesh. Have you ever just told yourself, I'm not doing that? Have you ever been angry at somebody and maybe they deserve to be angry at, but you said, I'm not going to feel this way? I've told myself before, I'm not going to feel this way. I've said it out loud. I'm not going to feel this way. Why? Because then I would be captivated, or I would be corrupted, or I would be, how would you say, that's what would drive me in the direction that my flesh wanted to go. You give yourself into your flesh, there's no telling where you'll end up at. That's why folk are in all kinds of sin tonight, is because they cater to their flesh. And that's why some believers, I won't even call them Christians, but some believers tonight, that they're in the shape that they're in, is because of their flesh. They've let their flesh rule them and control them. I'm not picking on Elijah, but I'm telling you that he was a man of like passions as we are. And he had problems. So what does God do for him? We come over to the end part of chapter 19. And God begins to give him instruction, and God gives him a finish to all this. And the Lord said unto him, go return. Now this is after he goes down. He's been in the cave. The cave is cold, dark, lonely. He's been down there by himself. Ever feel that way? Been in a cold, dark, lonely place? People all around you. But you're living in a cold, dark, lonely place. And God wanting to help you. God wanting to do something for you. So in verse 15, after he tells him, well, in verse 14, he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. He said, man, anything had to do with you, Lord, they didn't want to have nothing to do with it. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. So in verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Molah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and when him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence. So Elijah got done feeling sorry for himself. He got done of hiding. God didn't say that Jezebel wasn't still going to try to kill him. Now you understand that, don't you? He had never got a note that said that Jezebel wasn't still looking for him. God just gave him instructions to go do, and Elijah got up and went and done them. And if you read the rest of that, so he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle on him. You can read the rest of that. But God gave him instruction, and Elijah got back in the ministry, if you'd let me put it that way, and began to go do what God wanted him to do. And without beating upon Elijah tonight, there are times that our faith gets weak. But don't go sit down under the juniper tree and let your flesh beat you out of what God wants in your life. Don't go sit under the juniper tree, as we seen this morning, that whole track that from Jezreel to Beersheba, and then all the way down to Mount Horeb, and all the way from Mount Horeb all the way back up to Damascus was like 650, 675 miles that Elijah, I think, traveled needlessly. Sometimes when our faith becomes weak, and we let our faith control, or let our flesh, we ought to let our faith control, let our flesh control us, sometimes we end up traveling in places that we didn't have to tonight. Just looking at Elijah and him being a man subject to like passions as we are. So you know what that tells me tonight? Listen, I'm not wanting you to feel bad. I'm not wanting you to say, woe is me, and feel like Elijah tonight. But what I'm trying to tell you tonight is, if you do feel that way, there's a God in heaven that can help you. He ain't forgot. He didn't forget Elijah when Elijah had struggles following God, when Elijah struggled with fighting the foes, when Elijah struggled with his faith and struggled with his flesh. God didn't forget him. God didn't throw him away. God wasn't done with him. God still spoke to him and talked to him. God still fed him. I think God loved on him. Now, I'm going to tell you this. You keep bucking up on God, and God will quit loving on you. Let me see how I can put this tonight. It ain't that God will ever quit loving you, but I'm going to tell you what. Because he loves you, the chastening hand will come out. Instead of the loving hand, the chastening hand will come out tonight. Let's bow our heads tonight.